This is Abby, and you are listening to Upzoned. Got my bus pass, been a ride, first class streetcar downtown, where the fine ladies and the peeps are. OG said, don't hurt nobody. Looking this damn clean, got my fit on. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to another episode of Upzoned, a show where we take a big story from the news each week that touches the Strong Towns conversation, and we upzone it. We talk about it in depth. I'm Abby Newsham. I'm a planner in Kansas City, and today I have a surprise, very special guest that I've been meaning to have on the show for actually a really long time now, Mike Keen, who is a retired professor and incremental developer in South Bend, Indiana. Hello, Mike. Thank you for joining.
Hey, Abby. Thank you so much for asking me to join your show.
You've been on my list for a really long time, and I've just been like waiting for the opportunity to get you on. And we had a little bit of a break towards the end of last year. And yeah, this was an opportunity to like actually have you on Upzoned. You've been featured in a couple of Strong Towns articles in the past. You're kind of coined as the accidental developer. Could you maybe kind of introduce your story for any of the listeners who are not aware of it or not aware of who you are?
Well, as you said, I was a college professor, graduated from Notre Dame and stuck around the community, taught sociology for a long time, urban studies. And then the last 10 years between 2008 and 2018, I helped create the sustainability studies program at IU South Bend, sort of the triple bottom line. How do we bring economy, ecology, and society together? In 2017, I thought it was time to see if to stop teaching about it and see if I could put it into practice. And I was going to help build in my neighborhood, about a block and a half from where I live, a house that can produce as much energy as it uses, that a partner of mine that I had met along the way had developed. A different way of doing things. The problem was when we got over there, there was an appraisal gap and there was a bunch of other buildings and small businesses that were abandoned. And so it turned out that I started out thinking we were going to build one house, but then I ended up, you know, renovating an old flower shop and then the electric shop next door that was abandoned needed to be done. And then we had a fire in a house a half a block away. Plus we had all these vacant lots that were overgrown. And so, you know, you could buy them for $25 and $500 worth of legal fees. So I picked seven or eight of those up, you know, all this from two blocks from where I live. But the interesting thing was, by the time I had been out of the university for less than a year, I had a house I needed to build, a building that I was renovating, seven or eight vacant lots. And I didn't know how to do a pro forma, never heard of one. And so that's when some folks introduced me to Monty Anderson, and I started following around and began to learn the whole idea of incremental development. And for the last 7 years, basically, I've been going to school and learning, not through books, but by getting in there and getting my hands dirty. And that's why I call myself the accidental developer. It's not anything I planned to do after I left the university. It just kind of happened.
Yeah, I love that. And I think you and your story is such a wonderful case study of just like learning by doing. And it's especially interesting that you come from more of an educational background. And so you've really kind of worked on both sides of the aisle in that regard. So the article that we are covering today, I want to talk to you about because you come from the lens of a small scale incremental developer. And South Bend is getting a huge project in its downtown. So this is published in WSBT News by Sean English, and it's entitled Major Mixed-Use Development Could Be Largest in Downtown South Bend History. So the story highlights a major project that has been proposed in downtown South Bend, a $350 million investment in a mixed-use district, which would include hotels and apartments and commercial uses. This project is funded through $26 million from the city, and it's $102 million from the real estate investment firm Great Lakes Capital, and then $12 million from the state. So that's about 10% being supported through public subsidy of the total project cost. The overall project is projected to be completed by 2028 and will take up about two city blocks just south of the hospital, and is expected to be kind of a catalytic project for the city. So I wanted to bring you on because I wanted to get your perspective from the lens of an incremental developer. Is this something that you see as a positive for South Bend, something that's a positive to the work that you are doing and that people who are working in your space in South Bend are doing?
Yeah, I think this is a huge opportunity for us. I think in part because it's being led by the hospital, formerly Memorial Hospital, now it's called Beacon. And the leadership in that hospital for years has been really, really innovative and concerned about the community. So in developing this project, they are doing it in a way that they are doing it because it's going to help provide greater healthcare and healthcare services to the community, in particular, I think, children's service and some other additional services we haven't had are going to come into the community. But I think they also had a broad enough vision to realize that if they were going to need some 400 plus new employees, if they were going to be able to attract those employees to come and want to be here, doctors and nurses and other staff, they had to have a place for folks to be that they wanted to be and was attractive. And South Bend has just been amazing in the last 10 or 15 years with our parks, and what's happened to our downtown. You know, I came here 30 years ago and it was a place you kind of didn't want to be at. And it's such a transformation that we've seen. So I think that it's going to be a good thing. It's just about 5-6 blocks from where I'm at, where they're doing this. I live near the hospital. I hear the helicopters come in, you know, when they come through. I think that it's a good project for us.
Can you talk a little bit about downtown South Bend? What's the context like? How has it changed in the past decade or two?
Well, I mean, downtown South Bend, first of all, I mean, I think everybody knows, you know, the article in Strong Times, if you've seen it, from Rust to Resurgence in the early 1960s, South Bend was a thriving community and all of its neighborhoods were thriving, and the people across the community were thriving. Studebaker left, and that really, you know, we were at the beginning of the Rust Belt, that really had a negative impact. It particularly had a negative impact on communities of color that were in the city, because they were the first ones to be fired, because they had been the last ones to be hired. And then the city itself, the downtown, just went away. You know, we had Penny's and Sears, and, you know, it was vibrant, and that just went away. And I, in 81, Penny's was still hanging around when I first got here. So I sort of watched the city kind of bottom out a little bit. And then just slowly through guts and hard work and recognizing that nobody else was going to come to save us, people began to sort of diversify and rebuild those businesses and start to rebuild the downtown. Our mayor, Steve Lickey, at the time, also was working on trying to help the neighborhoods strengthen themselves, because the neighborhoods, you know, weren't places anybody wanted to live. So they were working on neighborhoods and the downtown's working. And then when Mayor Pete came in, he actually built upon the work that Lickey had done for about 16 years and started to sort of, you know, put some more focus onto the downtown area and sort of, you know, start to help continue to work there. And so between the two of those, they really sort of helped to strengthen the neighborhoods and really focus on downtown. And our current mayor, James Mueller, has really sort of seen the ability to try to continue to work on both of those and try to be a little bit more intentional about making sure that we don't leave some communities behind.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And certainly the many Rust Belt cities have gone through a similar kind of story. And the ones that have been really intentional are starting to see the resurgence, like South Bend. I feel like there's so many really forward-thinking things that are happening in South Bend that are not happening in other cities. And it's almost surprising that it's happening in South Bend, but there are people who are thinking in really innovative ways for such a small city compared to some of the larger cities that might be seen as more front row and they get a lot of headlines, but maybe they're not really doing things in a very innovative kind of way.
You know, I think one of the things that happens is the bigger the city is, the less impact any small group of people, you know, who come together and start working on something a little differently can have. They get swallowed up, or the bureaucracy is so massive they can't really get connected. But South Bend, you know, our population had just about dipped below 100,000. We're, you know, back over 100, 304, continuing to move up. But from the very first I got here, you know, 30 years ago, there were people working in groups and just making a difference. That never stopped. And then one of the things that was really interesting to me is I started to notice about 15 years ago, our young professionals, you know, either some stayed around or others settled in from the colleges or others came into the community, and they really began to step up. And we were fortunate enough to have some leadership that also, you know, older leadership, you know, in the mayor's office and you know, the banks and finance community, but began to recognize that. And so we've been able to, you know, have a place where it's not so small you can't get anything done, but not so big that, you know, what you do doesn't have an impact. And so, you know, people working in various neighborhoods and throughout the community and other people working on trying to figure out how to make downtown businesses work and go, you know, they've been able to, you know, create some things and make those grow.
So this project that's being proposed is obviously a really big project for relatively a small city, and that probably means that it will have some kind of impact. It'll probably be an impact, maybe many positives, maybe some negatives. And I think downtown development is kind of inevitably going to have these large scale proposals along with the more incremental approach. Downtowns have the skyscrapers, the convention centers, entertainment districts, stadiums. So it's kind of inevitable in this context in many respects. Can you talk a little bit about what the difference between incremental development and larger scale development is? I know this is kind of an approach where you're leveraging really large amounts of capital, big swaths of land. You're building things kind of all at once to a finished state. How does the incremental approach differ from that? And can those things kind of work together in the ecosystem?
The way the incremental development works is that you don't start out on a big project, right? First of all, the people doing it, you know, are much smaller scale. They don't have access to $100 million worth of capital. They can't put together $350 million capital stacks. That's just not what we do as incremental people. You know, the difference between us and the big developers is that there might, you know, we might be doing, you know, $20, $30 million worth of development, which is happening among the incremental developers in our community right now. When Monty and Bernice and Jim Kuhlman were back in town with our neighborhood evolution group about 4 or 5 months ago, we coached 12 projects here in South Bend of incremental developers actually doing work right now. And those 12 projects amounted to a total of $30 million worth of work that was being going on. So some of that was as little as $180,000 to $200,000 single family or duplex rehab. Some of that is a bakery that I'm doing. It's like a $5 million project is which one of the bigger and anything in between. The big difference is we're sharing the ownership. We're sharing the wealth because our incrementalism is not only incremental, it's distributed, right? And so what that means is that, and we're also working in the neighborhoods. You know, we need, and it's great to have the shot in the arm that is being brought to us by this development through the hospital. The big developers typically won't go into the smaller neighborhoods because you don't have the ability to invest $100 million. And quite frankly, you wouldn't want them to do it because if somebody came into your neighborhood and put $100 million down in it, probably what you'd end up with is a mess. Now, the nice thing about doing it here in the city is what they're doing is they're putting back stuff that got knocked down, you know, during the so-called period of urban renewal when the cities, you know, had sort of all crumbled. And so South Bend had this brilliant idea. Let's knock all our buildings down so all the developers can come in and they'll just have a blank slate to start with. Well, they never came. And, you know, we now look at some of these cities that are beautiful. Like we just had Casey Steinbecker from Durham, South Carolina come in. I don't know which from the north of Carolina, South Carolina. But anyways, Casey just came in talking about Durham. And one of the lucky things for Durham was in worse shape than South Bend. They didn't have enough money to knock their buildings down. And so now what they've done is they've seen a revitalization that has shot past South Bend. They've just done just an amazing $2.3 billion worth of development in the last couple of decades. We've got that space. And so we're using space, and they're going to be filling it in with what kind of stuff that used to be similar to what used to be there. So they're putting it in a scale that works. And so that's really a good thing. And it's going to happen very quickly. For small scale developers to do this, it would take a long time. Now, one of the things I think is you don't want all one or all the other. If you're a town that, like South Bend, that has, basically had the middle of it knocked out and flattened, and has been empty for God knows, 4 or 5 decades, and now is coming back. To have a shot in the arm like this is huge. But we don't only want to rely on this, because we also want to build the local development and builder community up so that we have more than just, one shot in the moon. We're lucky to get this. What we don't want to do is in another 20 years be in a position where we need this again. What we want is to have a thriving community of distributed, incremental developers, small and medium size, that can continue to do the development that our community wants to see. And most importantly, will work in the neighborhoods where these other folks won't go, and will help rebuild neighborhoods that used to be very vibrant in South Bend, but then were abandoned, redlined, and left behind. And, fortunately, mm-hmm. one of the things that we've seen with the city is we began to work, the city's also, but, not only have this big project here, but we've got a project around $15 to $20 million happening in an area. It used to be a very strong black middle class area, our little small black Wall Street. It wasn't a black Wall Street per se, but a very vibrant district. And we had a Martin Luther King Center now, and that's getting developed with a new center, new park, housing, and we're hoping some good new small businesses. That's something where we don't want to see that be built by an outsider. We want to see a bunch of folks build that here, a bunch of people build those communities, build those houses, build those businesses, so that 20 years from now, their families have benefited from the intergenerational wealth that's created through that kind of intentional, inclusive, and distributed development.
Yeah, so going to kind of the farming concept that Monty Anderson, who's another incremental developer and your business partner at Neighborhood Evolution, he often talks about incremental development as farming, or like cultivating a place through kind of the next best investment, the next best thing. You work incrementally, you understand the soil that you're working in, you understand the nuances because you're on the ground. And that's really how you understand the market and understand opportunities that larger scale developers are really not going to be capitalizing on and are not going to be seeing. And you, like you said, you really don't want them to be the ones to move forward with those kinds of investments, because it will be a very different kind of approach. Can you talk about a little bit about how you see these larger projects, I guess, feeding into that farming analogy? Because it seems like what a project like this has the opportunity to do, if we're looking at this really positively, is it's essentially like rejuvenating the soil or adding nutrients to the soil so that those who are farming in these places and cultivating neighborhoods can do so in a little bit more of a productive way.
Yeah, I think that really depends on how much we get out in front of the process. One of the things that Casey told, she was just in town 2 nights ago to do a talk for us here in South Bend, getting in preparation for the city's putting together a downtown strategic plan for downtown development that's coming at the same time that this project's being announced. And one of the things that she pointed out is that Durham did not pay attention to, did not believe in success. So they did not prepare for success, and they weren't as inclusive as they should have been. 20 years ago, everybody was sitting at the table, and now they're looking at it, and you can see that not everybody has benefited in the same way from that development. There is a almost $25,000 to $30,000 difference in annual median income between the white and the brown and black communities in Durham. Now they're doing some really terrific stuff to figure out how to work that out. And that's something that I think South Bend needs to continue to pay attention to. And that is, these folks are going to be taking a lot of the contractors and a lot of the energy of the building community. But quite frankly, those are the size of community builders and size of firms that typically would not be working on our stuff. But the question is, you know, what are we doing to help build up these smaller contractors and these smaller developers? We need to also support them. We are not going to come in with a $350 million thing, but this is the first time we've had this in South Bend since Studebaker left, is they're talking about. Nobody else has come in for this kind of a project. Whereas if you take a look what's happening in the small-scale development community, as I said, right now, you know, we've got 20-some developers working on $30 million worth of projects, and they're going to do that next year and next year and next year and next year and next year. They're not going away. And they're doing it stuff in scale in the neighborhoods. They're working with people in the neighborhoods. They're hiring the people from their neighborhoods. They're getting businesses from people in the neighborhoods. And we've also got some of our people downtown working on some buildings that nobody else would have used. And to a certain extent, the reason the hospital can think about this and wants to stay downtown rather than moving their stuff out into the county, which is or the outskirts of downtown, which is what some other healthcare facilities here in town have done, is because these small scale developers and these small, medium business people through guts have created a place that people want to be. So we want to make sure that, in my mind, this is going to be a big impact on us financially. How can we make sure some of that goes into continuing to support the neighborhoods, the developments going on, support the small, medium scale businesses and developers in being able to raise their game and create the kind of community that we had? Because if you think about it, South Bend was built by small scale developers and small, medium sized business people who built this place one house, one building, one block at a time. And that's the only way you're going to be rebuilding these communities if you're talking about rebuilding the whole community. And quite frankly, what we don't want from my perspective is some two or three block area that is basically very, very affluent, that's not welcoming to anybody else. And the rest of the community basically looks at that like, you know, Dorothy was looking at Oz. Now, I think that we've got enough sensibility and we've got administration that's aware enough that we're not going to do that. I know that right now in South Bend, we've got this situation where sometimes the people in the neighborhood say, oh, they're spending too much downtown. And then people who are downtown say, oh, they're spending too much in the neighborhoods. And it's kind of like, you know, there was complaints that Mayor Lickey didn't pay attention to the neighborhoods. There's complaints that Mayor Pete didn't pay attention to the downtown. What we know is you need everything, right? You need the body, you need the heart, you need the limbs, you need the brain. We all need to be working together. And when one of us benefits, we all do, if we let the blood flow, if we let the money and the capacities coming to town serve all our neighborhoods. And, you know, it's going to have a knock-on effect on my neighborhood and what I'm doing. My little area is, like, say, 5-6 blocks away. I started out with a $180,000 renovation of a beat-up flower shop in 2016. Well, that has morphed into a 15-year project that by 2032 will have been 3.12 acres of redevelopment, new housing, new businesses, renovating an old bakery. It'll have amounted to up to $15 million worth of development. And I'm doing it here because I live here. I'm not going anywhere, right? If the economy goes down, I'm not walking away. And when, you know, it's time for me to find an exit strategy, I'm not going to tell to some hedge fund person for the biggest dollar I can get. I'm going to wanting to make sure that the very people I'm working with now, my business people renting from my properties, they become the owners and their families and their children become the inner generations that continue to build and make this city work. So these big projects, I think, are important, and particularly in cities like ours that, you know, haven't had $350 million of investment because we didn't have a vibrant small business development community over the last 20 or 30 years. But what I think we need to do is not make this a moonshot that we then wait until we need another moonshot. Let's use this to build that kind of strong ecosystem, you know, where we all can work together and benefit from it. And I'm fairly confident that, you know, not everybody's going to be happy with what's happening around. Nobody ever is. But I'm fairly confident that that we've got the kind of infrastructure and the kind of communications and the kind of sensibility in place that's going to pay some attention to this.
I love everything about what you just said. I think it basically, you know, surmises the entire question of how do you leverage these giant projects so that they aren't just moonshot projects that, you know, are exciting at the time and don't actually benefit the small business community.
Or the entire community, right? I mean, we don't want to leave behind the west side of South Bend that was largely Black. Now it's Black and Latino. And, you know, it got redlined. And now, you know, people say, oh, we can't loan to that area because there's an appraisal gap. Well, guys, there's an appraisal gap because it was abandoned and intergenerational wealth was taken away from it. And now we've got to figure out how to intentionally and inclusively make sure that there's a seamless connection between the downtown and the neighborhoods. Because if we don't do that, then this $350 million project is going to be a Wizard of Oz that, quite frankly, is not going to make a difference for the whole community. I think that South Bend can do that. And I think that in doing that, we can show other communities how you can take advantage of projects like this and make sure that while they might happen in the downtown, they benefit everybody. You've got to have a strong heart, but you also have to make sure that the blood flows to the arms and the legs. And I believe we can do that.
Absolutely. It's definitely, I think, the least you can ask for with a project where 10% is being fronted through subsidy. You know, you mentioned that your projects have accounted up to $15 million.
They will over a period of 15 years. Now we're at about three to four.
Yeah. Well, imagine if 10% of that were, you know, were put into those projects through public subsidy, that would probably be extremely helpful to you. So I think that if a project like this is receiving that level of subsidy, it makes sense to get in front of the process to make sure that, you know, people in the trades communities are getting training that will then help not only the people who are working in that line of work, but also with incremental development. And I'm sure there's a million other ways that this project can be leveraged to further assist in longer term goals rather than just doing an internalized project in and of itself.
Yeah, well, I hope what we do is that we take some of the funds that come from this project in the form of tax revenues and other benefits that might come from it and create long-term workforce development programs that serve the entire community, that are bringing people from all the neighborhoods, not only into the trades, but also into accounting, into property management, into small business development. Because the challenge right now is that this is going to be done in 2028. You know, that's less than 4 years from now. The fact of the matter is we're not going to get many new tradespeople into that project. And so what I'm hoping is that, you know, what we'll say is, gosh, we can't wait until it's the project's on us. And then we all say, oh, there's nobody around to do the work. We need to start putting money into workforce development programs and entrepreneur development programs for the entire community, intentionally inclusive now, so that when we get the next big project, say 8 years from now, we're not having to just always think about who outside can come in to do it big. And we'll have people here from the trades and we'll people have small businesses that are going to be able to come in and take advantage of these new things. We obviously are going to see bigger developments downtown. We hope. I believe we will. And so what we want to do is we need to build up our own community. A lot of times the approach to economic development has been try to bring somebody from the outside who's going to bring you all the jobs and take care of your economic development. Our administration recognizes the power of small-scale development and small and medium business. They've been really supportive. But part of what they think is that, gee, you guys will help us create a quality of life that will attract people from the outside to the community. What we want to say is let's take one more step. It's not just trying to bring in the outsiders. It's not that small business and small developers can help create quality of life. We are the businesses. We are the quality of life. Your economic future is here, living in this community right now, and we'll stay here for generations if we stop, you know, looking to the outside or think we're just helping create a quality of life, but recognize we are that. I've seen a huge move in a positive direction with our current mayor and with our the people in economic development doing that. And what I applaud is you can't do one or the other, right? You can't just focus on the local and you can't just focus on bringing the big folks from the outside. For many years until the last, you know, five or six, when we started this incremental movement in South Bend, unfortunately, we were pretty much just looking to the outside. Now we've begun to look to more to the inside. And I also think what's happened is as a group of small, medium business persons and as small scale developers, our ecosystem is beginning to mature to the point where, in fact, we can be a significant, serious economic force in the community. And we can begin to sort of, you know, really recognize that we are doing what the original people who came to South Bend did. We're building this community one building, one house at a time. And if we don't build us up, then again, it won't be sustainable. It won't have resilience. So I think this is a huge opportunity for us. And I think that the city has been doing a good job. I think the planning that they're doing, involving everybody in the community, and right now we've got, you can go down to the library and participate in that process right now. I think, you know, signs are that we're going in a good direction. And I also think the great thing is that our driving partner is Beacon. And the leadership there also wants to see this as thing. If this were some developer coming out to create some kind of a big mall in the middle of the town and just was making a play for money, I'd be kind of worried. But this is not. This is a hospital concerned about the health and wellness of their organization, but also the health and wellness of our community. And so I think they've also been very intentional about how we work this out.
Well, Mike, I so appreciate you coming on to share this perspective. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I hope that you will come back on in the future, maybe as this project is kicking off or other projects are kicking off in South Bend. Please don't be a stranger. It'd be great to have you back on.
Great. I look forward to that.
So before we wrap today, it is time for the Down Zone, which is the part of the show where we can share anything that we've been up to these days, anything we've been reading or watching or listening to. So Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot. What have you been up to these days?
Well, in addition to what I've just talked about, when I get a chance, and usually I take a little time off the weekends, my wife and I like to, you know, make nice meals for ourselves. But what I've been doing the last weekend is I sat down and I read a Sarah Paratsky novel. You know, it talks a lot about what's happening in Chicago and some of the things going on there in the development. But I just love her mysteries. And I'm waiting for hers. And then there's another author who writes about Canada called Louise Penny. I'm waiting for those to come out because when I need to get away from all this, I basically bury my nose in the mystery book.
I did not know that about you. That's really nice. Well, I'm sure that you and your wife make amazing food as well. I remember meeting her in Oklahoma City, and she was a lovely person. So, yeah, you'll have to tell her that I say hello.
I'll tell her that. I was telling you I was going to be on. She said, oh, I remember Abby. She said she really liked you and she enjoyed the time
really
we spent
sweet.
Together.
She inspired me to start journaling again. So
she does that with everybody. She's got everybody writing a book about their life. She's got that magic capacity there. So keep on journaling. And at some point in time when you're ready to write that book, you can talk to Gabrielle.
Yeah, that'll be a really interesting book. Well, so speaking of books, I have actually been rereading a book that I have read a few times now, but it's been a few years. So American Nations by Colin Woodard. Have you ever read this, Mike?
I've not read that one.
Okay. So this is one of my favorite books, and I'm always recommending it to people. It's basically it's a book that lays out a geographic framework of most of North America that breaks it down into 11 different colonies that are based on settlement patterns. And so this includes areas of northern Mexico as well as southern Canada. And it talks about the history of settlement all throughout the Americas and how basically both state within the United States and country boundaries are not that meaningful in terms of culture. And it maps out a totally different framework for like socioeconomics and culture and how things are working in terms of like social movements based on these different 11 colonies. So super fascinating.
Yeah, I've read a review of that and heard about it. It's familiar with me from the review. It really sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's a fascinating book. I'm listening to it, so I shouldn't even say that I'm, quote unquote, reading it. But I used to have a physical copy and I lent it out to a friend, and I don't think I'll ever see it again, which is actually totally fine. I'm not offended when people take my books. So I'm listening to it. And yeah, it's been unseasonably warm here in Kansas City, so I've just been walking my dog and catching up on this book for the third or fourth time. So
That sounds cool.
yeah. Well, thanks again, Mike. I really appreciate talking with you. It's always great to catch up, and I hope we'll see you again sometime very soon.
Well, if you're going to be at CNU or Strongtowns, we'll see you there.
Yep.
And I hope to get to Kansas
Yes.
City sometime again. So.
Announcement pending, but I will be in Cincinnati for Strongtown's national gathering as well as Congress for New Urbanism. So, super excited about that. Never have been to Cincinnati before.
We'll see you there, and Gabrielle's going to join us, so we'll get a chance to have dinner again together. So look forward to it.
Lovely. Yes, I can't wait. That sounds like a plan. Well, thank you, Mike, again, and thanks everyone for listening to another episode of Upzoned. Keep doing what you can to build Strongtown. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Abby. Let me show you what I'm about to do.